This is episode 137 of UFO Encounters. In this episode, I'm talking about the alien implant phenomenon as reported in the alien abduction literature. In the alien abduction literature, the implant is one of the most important forms of physical evidence. It is not a symbol, metaphor, or psychological motif. It is a foreign object found in the body, often after an experiencer reports missing time, contact, unexplained marks, or a memory of being handled by non-human beings. The implant matters because it brings the abduction account out of the realm of testimony alone and into surgery and laboratory analysis. The usual pattern begins with an experiencer who has already reported contact. The person may remember being taken from a bedroom, a car, or roadside. They may recall a medical procedure aboard a craft, a light-filled room, instruments, and a sense of paralysis. After the event, they notice a mark, a scar, or a sudden physical change that does not match any known injury. In some cases, an X-ray or examination reveals a foreign body under the skin. Implants have been reported in the nose, ear, hand, foot, toe, and other parts of the body. They are often discreet, close to nerves, near bone, or in places where a small object can remain unnoticed for years. The nose appears frequently in early abduction accounts, especially where abductees describe instruments being inserted through the nasal passage. Later cases widen the field. Objects were found in hands and feet, in ears, and other sites. This suggested that implantation was not confined to one procedure or one point of entry. The best-known medical investigator of this subject was Dr. Roger Lear, a Californian podiatrist surgeon who worked closely with alien abduction researcher Daryl Sims. Lear became central to the implant literature because he arranged surgical removals, preserved the recovered objects, and sent them for scientific testing. His work gave the subject a practical medical framework, case history, surgery, sample preservation, and materials analysis. Through Lear, the implant was treated not simply as an anecdote, but as a physical object that could be removed, photographed, and tested. A key moment came on the 19th of August, 1995, when two experiencers, Pat Perinello and Mary Jones, underwent implant removal procedures. Pat's object was removed from the back of his left hand. Mary's objects were removed from her left big toe. These cases became foundational because they were documented through surgical removal and later laboratory examination. The objects were small, seed-like, and covered in dark, dense biological material. They were not treated simply as curiosities. They were preserved and submitted for scientific analysis. Mary Jones' case has also been discussed in the literature under the pseudonym Patricia Connolly. Her left big toe and foot became important because more than one object was associated with the area. One was described as a small dark structure, another as seed-like and covered in a dense membrane. The fact that these objects were found in the foot is significant. Feet are practical places for concealment, movement, and long-term embedding. They also contain dense nerve pathways and are subject to pressure and repeated stimulation. An object placed there is not passive in the life of the body. Pat Perinello's case is equally important because the object came from the back of the left hand. The hand is a site of touch, action, and neurological sensitivity. In implant literature, placement in the hand suggests more than concealment. It employs a point of interaction with movement and the body's electrical activity. The object recovered from Pat was small enough to evade casual attention, but substantial enough to register on imaging and demand surgical removal. It became one of the early cases that helped define the modern implant record. The objects appeared to show little or no ordinary inflammatory response, despite being embedded in human tissue. The surrounding membranes did not behave like simple scar tissue around a splinter. In some accounts, nerve tissue appeared to be associated with the objects. Several fluoresced bright green under ultraviolet light. Some were magnetic. These details became central because they suggested biological accommodation. The body had not simply rejected the objects as foreign debris. it had, in some fashion, adapted around them. The laboratory testing of the early Lear and Sims objects gave the subject a harder evidential edge. Reported methods including pathology, metallurgical analysis, scanning electron microscopy, X-ray diffraction, fluorescence analysis, magnetic testing, and isotopic examination. Los Alamos National Laboratories and New Mexico Tech appear in the record as sites where recovered materials were studied. These names matter because they locate the implant phenomenon in the world of materials science and forensic examination, not just personal testimony. One object from the early cases was described as a T-shaped structure made of two small metallic rods. The horizontal section reportedly contained a hard magnetic iron core surrounded by a more complex outer layer. Other samples contained unusual combinations of elements, crystalline structures, or coatings. In these reports, the implants did not present as random fragments of debris. They appeared structured, layered, and functional. The combination of metallic content, biological coating, magnetic behavior, and tissue integration became a recurring signature. Jesse Long's case added historical depth. Long reported encounters beginning in childhood in 1957, long before alien abduction became widely known through later media coverage. An object was removed from his leg in 1989 and later examined by Dr. Mallow. It was described as a glass-like fragment about 1.5 centimeters long, composed largely of silicon with smaller amounts of potassium, calcium, and iron. The material was reported to be electrically conductive and unlike ordinary glass in the way it remained in the body. The case showed that implants could remain hidden for decades before discovery. Some objects emerged from the nose rather than being surgically removed. A British case involved an object expelled from a woman's nasal cavity, later examined under a scanning electron microscope and analysed at Manchester University. It was described as hydrocarbon material, pointed at one end and hooked at the other. Other accounts include objects found in the mouth, fibres removed from the back, and hard-centred lumps taken from the leg. The materials vary, including metal, silica, crystalline matter, biological coatings, and composite fragments. The function of the implant is usually described as a tracking device, but the literature suggests something more complex. These objects are not described as crude chips. They appear adapted to the body. Their coatings, positions, and relationships with tissue suggest interaction with biological systems. In that sense, the implant may operate less like a machine placed inside a person, more like an interface between the person and the intelligence conducting the abduction. Experiencers often report changes before and after removal. Pain may intensify before surgery, then stop abruptly. Swelling may appear and then recede. Some report relief after extraction, while others describe renewed dreams, further contact, altered sensitivity, or a feeling that something has shifted in their relationship with the visitors. Removal does not always end the abduction sequence. In several accounts, it becomes another stage in an ongoing process. The object can be taken out, but the contact history continues. The alien implant phenomenon is one of the most compelling physical strands in abduction literature. From Mary Jones' left big toe and Pat Marinello's left hand to Jesse Long's leg and the nasal and foot objects examined in later cases, the record shows a repeated pattern of unexplained foreign objects found in the bodies of experiencers, removed and scientifically tested. These objects are small, but their implications are enormous. They show that alien abduction is not only remembered by the mind, it is registered in the body, embedded in the tissue, and sometimes left beneath the skin, waiting to be found. In this episode, I was talking about the alien implant phenomenon as reported in the alien abduction literature. And my book, which is titled Aspects of Alien Abduction, is on Amazon. You can get it on paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. And the audiobook is also on Spotify. And a great way to support this podcast is to sign up to Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/alienUFO podcast. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.